That factory assembly line song was sung by Father and the Assemblerola from the musical Endless Pavement. But you too could be the singer. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Dashpots go by on endless belts. I adjust the vacuum throttle positioners. Oh, hello, everybody. Today I'm your roving reporter off to the Assemblerola, and the topic is jobs. Jobs of the future, jobs you're doing right now, jobs you've done in the past. Let's see, this is a pretty deserted street, so maybe I will interview myself. Jackie? Have you ever held a job where the dashpots went by on endless belts? How'd you keep it interesting? Well, the endless belts were endless rows of corn. My father raised hybrid seed corn, and every summer from the time I was tall enough to reach the tassels, that was about 12 years old, I was part of the corn detasseling crew. Now, there's a job that gets pretty bad. It's okay in the fresh, dewy dawn out there in those green rows, but by the time you've done it several hours, you're hot and sweaty. The thin-edged corn leaves slash across your arms like blades and give you corn cuts and corn burns. The tassels, for someone fairly short, take an upward jerk that takes a tensing of the stomach muscles. And after a while, you begin getting sick to your stomach. And then those rows just go on and on and on forever. And so you're tired and slightly nauseated and hot and bored, but you have to stay alert and not miss any tassels. And then when it rains, well, the rain drenches you and it gets in your eyes. You have to look up, but at least it's cool. But the problem is that slogging along there in the mud, it begins to coat your feet, and every time you pick a foot up, it weighs about a ton. Well, to keep my spirits up out there in the cornfield, because all the other tasselers would leave me far behind and I'd be all alone, I would make up songs. And here's one that I remember. Here we go, a-tasseling, a-tasseling, a-tasseling. Here we go, a-tasseling, out on a summer's morn. We tassel fast, we tassel slow, we tassel every female row, so hardly any tassels show out in the Dogon corn. And I would bawl that up and down the rows when I got feeling too tired and bored. Well, thank you, Jackie Jackson, for that interview. Do you recommend making up songs for difficult jobs? I certainly do. Well, nobody's coming along yet. Jackie, do you have another story that you can tell us? Well, I can tell you one about my brother. His regular job was always emptying the waste baskets and burning them, and he did such an interesting thing with the waste baskets that I wrote it up in my book, The Ghost Boat. So here is that story. Thad was coming now around the corner of the cottage, lugging the huge waste basket full of trash. He dumped it near the charred space where the trash got burned and rummaged through the papers. He took out the cereal boxes, the paper cups, and any other containers. Humming a little tuneless tune, he began to arrange them on the charred area. Marcy knew what he was doing. She sometimes even helped. He was making a village. He made a square of buildings by setting paper cups close between cheese cartons, putting a waxed paper box on end for a tall silo or smokestack, bending paper plates to form tents. In the middle of the square, he built an imposing structure by piling up various boxes, a monstrosity of architecture that he topped with a toilet paper tube. Marcy decided it was a courthouse. He stuffed the buildings with dirty napkins and the courthouse with all the remaining debris from the wastebasket. Then he walked around his village, surveying it from all angles, adding a second story here, moving two buildings a bit closer together there. Marcy could tell by his look that he thought it was one of the best he'd ever made. She'd seen lots of his villages, and she had to agree that it was. I should have told you listeners that Marcy is spying on him. At last he was ready to begin. He pulled the matchbox out of his pocket, squatted down, and with his tongue out, carefully struck a match on a stone. It flared up. He watched it burn down. He lit several more, for the only time he was allowed to strike matches was when he burned the papers. Finally, he lit one and held it to a paper cup. Thin blue smoke came up and the wax began to sizzle, and an edge of flame established itself in a growing arc. Thad waited till the cup was blazing and a danger to the paper plate beside it. Then he leaped to his feet. "Fire! Fire! Help! Call the fire department!" He raced down to the lake, wailing like a siren and breaking into the siren noise with an occasional ding, ding, ding for the bell. The paper plate caught, and a carton went up with a whoosh. A mild breeze fanned the flames. The smoke billowed up into the tree. The spy lay choking back coughs. "Here I come," yelled Thad, galloping back. "Watch out, everybody. Make way." He skidded to a stop before the burning village, whipped out his water pistol, and shot a thin stream of water onto the blazing carton. The water hissed and went up in steam. Now Thad was very busy. He stuffed buildings where the fire had gone out, made air holes to encourage the flames, moved houses closer together, blew on reluctant areas, and in between rushed to the lake to fill his pistol in a brave but futile attempt to save the doomed community. At last the courthouse caught. The fire roared high, a bacon wrapper sizzled, the toilet paper tube toppled. Smoke poured upward. When the smoke shifted and the spy could look again, the whole village was reduced to embers. Thad was stirring them with a stick until everything was out. The destruction was complete. It had been one of Thad's finest shows. He picked up the wastebasket and the matches and went back to the cottage. So, there was a way of sparking up a job. Now, this job's getting a bit dull. Nobody's come along yet. Well, let's read some out of Tom Sawyer. That's a book that's always worth reading. Tom appeared on the sidewalk with a bucket of whitewash and a long-handled brush. He surveyed the fence, and all gladness left him, and a deep melancholy settled down upon his spirit. 30 yards of board fence, 9 feet high. Life to him seemed hollow, and existence but a burden. Sighing, he dipped his brush and passed it along the topmost plank, repeated the operation, did it again, compared the insignificant whitewashed streak with the far-reaching continent of unwhitewashed fence, and sat down on a tree box discouraged. He began to think of the fun he had planned for this day, and his sorrows multiplied. But then, you know, Tom has an idea, and so he gets up and he starts to paint. And one of his friends come along. "Say, I'm going swimming, I am. Don't you wish you could? But of course you'd druther work, wouldn't you? Of course you would." Tom contemplated the boy a bit and said, "What do you call work?" "Why, ain't that work?" Tom resumed his whitewashing and answered carelessly, "Well, maybe it is and maybe it ain't. All I know is it suits Tom Sawyer." "Oh, come now, you don't mean to let on you like it." The brush continued to move. "Like it? Well, I don't see why I oughtn't to like it. Does a boy get a chance to whitewash a fence every day?" That put the thing in a new light. Ben stopped nibbling his apple. Tom swept his brush daintily back and forth, stepped back to note the effect, added a touch here and there, criticized the effect again, then watching every move and getting more and more interested, more and more absorbed. Presently he said, "Say, Tom, let me whitewash a little." Tom considered, was about to consent, but he altered his mind. "No, no, I reckon it wouldn't hardly do, Ben. You see, Aunt Polly's awful particular about this fence, right here on the street, you know. But if it was the back fence, I wouldn't mind, and she wouldn't. Yes, she's awful particular about this fence. It's got to be done very careful. I reckon there ain't a boy in 1,000, maybe 2,000, that could do it the way it's got to be done." Well, Ben begs and begs, and Tom keeps putting him off, and finally, Ben gives him his entire apple. Tom gave up the brush with reluctance in his face, but alacrity in his heart. And while Ben worked and sweated in the sun, the retired artist sat on a barrel in the shade close by, dangling his legs, munched his apple, and planned the slaughter of more innocents. There was no lack of material. Boys happened along every little while. They came to jeer, but remained to whitewash. And so by the time Tom finishes the fence, by the time his friends finish the fence, he has collected 12 marbles, part of a jew's harp, a piece of blue bottle glass to look through, a spool cannon, a key that wouldn't unlock anything, a fragment of chalk, a glass stopper of a decanter, a tin soldier, a couple of tadpoles, 6 firecrackers, a kitten with only one eye, a brass doorknob, a dog collar, but no dog, the handle of a knife, 4 pieces of orange peel, and a dilapidated old window sash. He had had a nice, good, idle time all the while, plenty of company, and the fence had 3 coats of whitewash on it. If he hadn't run out of whitewash, he would have bankrupted every boy in the village. Well, what Tom discovered there was how to be a manager. He managed the job and had the other ones doing the work for him. But there's considerable skill to being a manager, and Tom Sawyer had that skill. You know, a particularly distasteful job is getting rid of the dog poops in the backyard. And a friend of mine always played pucky golf. That's where you take a paper bag and a stick and see if you can make a hole in one. Well, no dashpots, no people going by. Looks like we're not going to get any business. But here are a few shorty ideas we could send in to Heloise, household hints. For one job, particularly endless, is housework. Dishes pile up every day, dirt tracks in, clothes get dirty. It never occurs to anybody to put anything away. I know a woman with a lot of kids who's had it with housework. She lets the junk pile up all week long. Then on Friday afternoon, she takes the lawn rake and rakes the living room, everything into a corner. And presto, the room is clean for the weekend. Another friend says that she just leaves the vacuum sweeper out. Then if anybody drops in, they think she's about to clean. And a third friend says, if you want to avoid cleaning even for company, put out a ladder and a paint can and a drop cloth and tell everybody you're redecorating. There was a girl I knew, her name was Slewfoot Slew. She was chief engineer at the shirt tail factory down by the riverside view. Well, looks to me like everybody must already be at the Assemblerola or the shirt tail factory. You'll all just have to write in your interview if we're going to get any. What jobs have you had? Any really interesting ones? Have you managed to spice up a tedious dashpot? How have you managed to wiggle out of a job you didn't like? Have you a work song to lighten the load? Tell us how you adjust the vacuum throttle positioners.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.